Welcome to the podcast series of the Warwick Commission on the Future of Cultural Value. I'm here today with Dr. Sam Friedman, who is lecturer in sociology at City University London. So, a first question, Sam. What can a sociological approach to the consumption of popular culture tell us about the different ways it's accessed and valued within a society?
Well, I think popular culture's an interesting kind of way into understanding the way culture's valued in a society, in the sense that it's normally culture that's not officially legitimated or officially kind of recognised by the state in terms of public funding. And in that way, it's very interesting to understand the way in which normal everyday people engage with it and what that tells us about the cultural lifestyles and everyday cultural identities of everyone within a society, rather than, I suppose, focusing on the consumption of art and culture that is considered to be more legitimate, which is normally the way in which people conceive of the state-sponsored arts, or what, you know, we often call the high arts.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your research in which you've been looking specifically at comedy, and I'm thinking in particular in the way that what your research has shown, how different types of comedy, different modes of comedy have appealed to different kind of backgrounds of people, both in terms of class and also educational levels. Mm. And so firstly, maybe say a little bit about that, and then also why you think these differences are kind of coming about.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, comedy has always fascinated me. My background is as a comedy critic and a magazine publisher at the Edinburgh Fringe, which is kind of largest comedy festival in the UK. And I suppose what the research really revealed is that people's tastes for comedy, but also their more general senses of humour, are very strongly differentiated in Britain anyway, according to their social backgrounds. And within that, lots of kind of demographic aspects of people's lives seem to interact there, but particularly, as you mentioned, social class and educational level seem to really correlate strongly with different types of comedy taste. And I think that's interesting, going back to your previous question to some extent, because comedy as an art form in Britain has traditionally been seen as quite lowbrow, very much a popular art form that's not been respected in the way that the traditional high arts have. But I suppose what my research was trying to do was show that actually, even within forms of popular culture now, I think there's very strong divides in what people like, and that's particularly because many of popular forms of culture have now become much more acceptable tastes or acceptable arenas for the more well-educated, the more middle class to engage with, particularly younger generations. So certainly what my research found was that particularly younger generations of British middle class are very much delving into comedy and becoming very enthusiastic about it in terms of their taste, but are actually distinguishing themselves by the consumption of a particular type of comedy, and a type of comedy that in my research I kind of tried to show, I think, is closer in its aesthetic to the traditional high arts. And through doing so, there was quite a strong sense that these people felt they were able to communicate a sense of their cultural distinction in a way that perhaps in previous generations they would have done so by their consumption of high art only.
So do you think that comedy and the way that it challenges this traditional binary between what is high culture and what is popular culture, in that it has different levels in itself, do you think that reflects a broader pattern of culture in the UK?
Yeah, I think so. I think what's happened is that in terms of what culture is valued, I mean, beyond the way in which the state is kind of valuing, broader shifts have meant that lots of forms of popular culture, beyond comedy, film, certainly popular music to some extent as well, the kind of boundaries of what is and what isn't acceptable have become more blurred. And there's been an attempt by, I think, particularly younger generations of the better educated to deliberately aestheticise, deliberately make more acceptable or legitimate in its production and it's also in its consumption, forms of comedy, forms of music. And in so doing, it's really interesting to look at those areas in more depth to see the way that they split the population in ways that perhaps, certainly in the case of comedy, probably didn't exist 50 years ago.
Yeah. Thinking about other cultural forms as well, I mean, the kind of critical dismissal of certain types of popular music. Mm. I mean, if you think about popular music that comes from reality shows, which is valued by huge populations, especially yeah. teenagers, but sort of critically and in the press and things, is completely dismissed, I think certainly seems relevant.
Yeah, and I suppose that, I mean, I suppose the interesting thing about my research is to show the way in which all the different actors within a cultural field act to construct these hierarchies in cultural value, and that they have real meaning, but that for me personally, behind it all, there's a certain arbitrariness to what that notion of aesthetic quality actually is.
Yeah.
And to some extent that's shown over time by the way in which inherent notions of quality have been undermined by the fact that, you know, domains like comedy or popular music have been successfully aestheticised. So to some extent that kind of challenges the notion that some things are or aren't inherently better than others.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense in which, you know, these judgments, whether they're coming from academics, whether they're coming from critics, can have real social power, even if, for me, the kind of normative legitimacy of those judgments is quite troubling, problematic. Yeah.
So what do you think the implications of your research on comedy are for the broader kind of debate around the question of cultural value or the value of culture?
When I started doing the research, I was fascinated by the fact that comedy, for instance, wasn't an art form that had any kind of public funding, even though there are many people in the UK, I think, who would believe it's as acceptable an art form as any other of the kind of high arts in its inherent kind of complexity or capacity. And there are, in that way, I suppose, one part of the research is to show how complex the field of comedy's become, and argue to some extent that there are artists that probably could do with comedy being valued at that institutional level to help them support the kind of comedy that they want to do that wouldn't necessarily be commercially viable from its offset. But I suppose more generally, if I'm being honest, the research is really about trying to show the way in which a political construction of cultural value can be co-opted in terms of wider notions of power in society to help the better educated, help the more socially privileged to mark their cultural distinction in society. That's what it's done traditionally, and I think at the moment there is a real sense that by trying to mark what cultural value is, we have to be very careful that we don't in the process devalue forms of culture that aren't deemed as being as aesthetically complex but are just as meaningful for people in their everyday lives. So the emphasis of this work is probably more about critiquing or being very critical about the functioning of cultural value in a society.
Yeah. And I suppose, going back to something we were talking about earlier, that there's also something to be said of the kind of comedy as a cultural industry. So comedy is, as you were mentioning, something which is not really given much money from the state, for instance, like other art forms are. And obviously, part of the point of this commission is to step away or see if it's possible to step away from kind of purely financial approach to valuing culture. So I think that maybe that fits in there as well. But also, you know, comedy is still something to be considered in those terms, precisely because it is something that's kind of self-funding institution. Dr. Sam Friedman, thank you very much.